Welcome. Welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results, and investing involves risk. Depending on the types of risk, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And remember, I hold California Insurance License OL34249, and the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, the matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. Controls our economy, our country, our planet, and somewhere or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. So today's edition is number 310. Money Matters 310. Boy, the time goes quick, doesn't it? We're on the shortened COVID version. I normally have the show on Tuesdays at noon, but that's when our governor, Gavin Newsom, makes his COVID announcement. So most of the broadcasters are still home, and I am no exception. We have a handful of great volunteers and excellent broadcasters and producers that are hanging out at the station, but most of us are home so we don't spread COVID to our compadres. It is said that one of the most contagious professions you can have is the radio business, because there's 160 broadcasters and we're all speaking into the same mic. So at KVMR, we're practicing extreme cleanliness, as I'm sure all the community radio stations that cover this carry this show is. And so my show, as you know, now is on Tuesdays, usually Tuesdays, 6:30, shortened version, about 30 minutes or so, and I welcome that. So hats off to everybody that's running the station. When will we be back? That's a good question. We're basically following the governor's mandate. We want to make sure that we did establish a protocol for coming back to the station. It's too lengthy to describe here, but we've got to see cases at a certain level and new cases, et cetera, et cetera. So management has done a great job at setting that protocol, and we're following it for sure. The website for Money Matters is moneymanagementradio.com. Everything is free. They're our way of saying thank you for sure. And email is moneymatters@kvmr.org. So that's simple there. You can also contact the program director about the show. So I wanted to do, I had to make a couple of trips. And I Googled up information on what it was like to travel during COVID. And I was getting just a standard run-of-the-mill, plain vanilla suggestions, you know, wear a mask and stay away from people, et cetera, et cetera. But I really couldn't find any information on what I could expect when I was traveling. I had to fly on the first trip. So I thought I'd do two series. One trip I took, I had to fly, and one I had to drive. I took the first trip last month. It took me down for business to Newport Beach. Now, if you don't know, Newport Beach is surrounded by like one of the four of the heaviest counties for COVID cases in the state. It's like San Bernardino County and Orange County, Los Angeles County, Riverside, San Diego, of course, a little further down. But I was right in the middle of it, man. I was going to Newport Beach, and that was like Disneyland Central. So down I went. So I wanted to tell you what my trip was like. So if you have to travel by airliner, you'll know what to expect. First of all, my trip to the airport. Okay, traffic everywhere is light. I'm sure everybody knows that. Traffic everywhere is fairly light. And it was down to the airport. Went down in the middle of early in the morning, commuter traffic, and not much there. In fact, everywhere I went, even in L.A., traffic was fine, where traffic in L.A. Is usually nightmarish for sure. So we arrived at the SAC International Airport, and pulled up in the front, you know, where you drop your people and the baggages and everything, and it was empty. I mean, literally. And this is about a month ago. It was literally empty. There was four or five cars there doing the, you know, obligatory hugs and goodbyes. So I dropped the wife and the kids off. They brought the bags in. And I went to park in the economy parking lot, and lo and behold, both economy parking lots were closed, which would have been a nice to know before I got there, Because I would have used the, the stay and fly where you rent a hotel room and then they shuttle you to the airport and give you free parking. And so for $150, you get a place to stay. You don't have to get up as early. You can eat dinner that night before or just have a nice leisurely time. But nope, the economy lots were closed. And I went, oh no. So I drove around to the daytime parking, which was $30 a day, I think, somewhere in there. And I had to use that. Either that or go home, and the kids were in the airport, so couldn't do that. Now, what was interesting when I went in the daytime parking lot, I got a spot like right across from the terminal. I mean, I didn't have to walk more than literally 20 yards before I was crossing the street into the terminal. So that was kind of cool. That kind of took some of the sting off the bill that I was going to be getting. But for the price I eventually paid for the parking, I could have had a hotel and a dinner, no doubt about it. Airport was empty. In fact, the ticketing booths were empty. It was difficult for us to find an agent to check in, but when we did, it was a breeze. The TSA line, non-existent, right to the front, nobody there. It was actually kind of eerie in a way, you know? About 100 or so travelers inhabited the SAC airport that I could see, and once, you know, it's usually accommodating 1,000 people or more. Most stores and restaurants in the airport were open, and there was a lot of people wearing masks, and of course the people that worked in the stores and the restaurants did wear masks, but no waiting was the norm for everything. The plane was on time, and seating was prompt. About 40 people were on the plane, which is built for, you know, 110, 120. Seating was open. Families were allowed to sit together, but then there was a person behind me, so you could see that everybody was kind of distancing because there were available seats. I understand now that they're more tightly packing them. The airliners that are flying are trying to fill their planes and flying less flights in the process of doing that, trying to make a buck just to survive. So no meals. We got bottled water and Czech mix, not glasses or anything like that. No food, just Czech mix. We arrived at the John Wayne Airport. We arrived at the John Wayne Airport in Orange County. And again, I'd been to that airport many times, and it was almost empty. Baggage claim, no problem. This usually busy airport resembled a moderately packed ghost town. In other words, there was hardly anybody in there. The whole thing felt like something out of the Twilight Zone. Now, getting the rental car, now that was interesting. Eerily interesting. Most of the rental cars inside the airport were vacant, so I think I had budget, and all the budget counters were empty. So we're like, well, where are all the people? How am I supposed to get the car? Finally, there was this little obtuse sign that said, go to the garage where the cars are. So we went to the garage, and we wandered around literally 15 minutes looking for somebody to check us in. And there was a office there that was partnering with another office. So I think it said Hertz on the window or something, but inside was the budget person. So they checked us in, but it was weird, you know. Showed us where our car was. And I will tell you, when we returned the car at the end of the trip, it was even harder. Because we went around and went in where it said return cars and got in there, and there was nobody there. Nobody. So we were driving around, and every time we passed over one of those car tire strips, one-way strips, couldn't go back. So we basically ended up going around the John Wayne Airport about three times before we finally got into a place, found a maintenance guy, and then they directed us to this one person that had one of those handheld computers that were that could check us in. So we did that. So if you're going to go rent a car, I would suggest that you allow yourself plenty of time, because it is really, really it's really hard to find the people that you need to find. We arrived at Newport Beach. We had a place a block from the pier, so we were right in the thick of it, and we were right on the boardwalk. So I had, you know, premium place that we got. And when we arrived on Monday, it was packed. It looked like a weekend. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just jammed. After that, it kind of mellowed out the next couple of days. There weren't quite as many people. About, I could say, maybe 30% were wearing masks down there in all the stores and things. There were a lot of the stores closed. And I think the reason being that the stores were closed is I think a lot of these businesses, small businesses, were making more money on unemployment than they were opening their shop. For instance, if you have a small yogurt shop, and you're right down there on Newport Beach, you're probably, I don't know, making a grand or two a month. And so it's cheaper for them just to stay shut and go collect the $600 a week bonus plus your unemployment. So I think that's what a lot of people were doing. There were restaurants and things open, and the seats were separated. And it was pretty easy to get a seat, to get served, anything like that, because there really didn't look like a whole lot of overnighters. It looked like, from what I could tell, there was a lot of people that came in to go to the beach, but not a lot of overnighters. So, it was kind of an odd trip for sure. All in all, the trip was odd. You know, it was like kind of half of everything was open. And after 10 days, none of us got sick. And I'll let you know that I just had a COVID test about 2 weeks ago. Took me more than a week to get my results back, and I was fine. I tested a negative. So about 14 days after that, I had to go to Reno, Nevada, to a casino. And I thought, oh boy, okay. So we called to make casino reservations, and they said, oh, we're about 80% full, so we can give you a reservation. But I've learned from experience from traveling, all hotels, no matter what day of the week, vacation or no, they always tell you they're 80% full. So you think, oh, well, I'm lucky to be here. So we left on Thursday, July 2nd. 4th of July was on Saturday. And left here from Nevada County. And the freeway to Tahoe was as busy as I've ever seen it. You know, the two lanes up and 80 out of Grass Valley were bumper to bumper, 65 miles an hour. You know how they drive. You know, they all go at 60. They're all like right on each other's butt. So we drove up, and when we hit the Highway 289, the highway that veers off to Tahoe, 90% of the cars got off there. And so I'm thinking, okay, nobody's going to Reno. Everybody's going to Tahoe. And I understand 250,000 people went there, to the chagrin of many of the COVID watchers. They did not like that. I read in the newspaper. I also read that the store owners wanted people up there. So you kind of have a dynamic there as far as what people want. But anyway, we got into Reno. And the casino, you know, that was another kind of an odd experience. They had the distancing marks on the floor on check-in. There were a moderate amount of people there. The casinos looked pretty busy. Most in the casinos were wearing masks. I could see that. I did notice that in the first casino we went to, they had partitions between the slot machines and all the other machines. So that was good. Now, I'd been to this casino before, and I had never, never really took a look at the hand sanitizers. That's not a beer, folks. That's my soda water. So if you hear a burp, that's going to be worse. They tell you never burp on the radio. Any case, I didn't see any more hand sanitizers than usual, which was kind of odd. When we entered the casino, there was a thermal camera above that says that they're taking your temperature. But I didn't see anybody there to stop us. So I was thinking, well, let's say it showed me that 104 fever. Well, there was nobody there to stop me. So maybe they would have sent somebody down, or an alarm would have went off. I don't know. But if they would have sent somebody down, I would have been well deep into the casino before anybody caught me. So it was kind of weird. I don't know if the thing worked. During my stay there, at least the first casino, I didn't really see a lot of people wiping machines. I sat at the bar a couple times, played like some poker machines there and there. One guy came by and wiped once. But I didn't really see a lot of people wiping it down. So I was thinking, you know, maybe this is all kind of like a, you know, oh yeah, we're really clean, but oh, not really doing much about it. Every time my mask did slip around my nose, though, the bartender would tell me, you need to put your mask on. So they were there. They were good there. And everybody in the casino wore them. But as far as more hand sanitizers and people wiping the machines down, that's not what I saw. Another thing I saw was kind of interesting. A lot of the machines were broken, you know, and I was thinking, what? Here you're opening up, you're trying to get people to come here, and a lot of these machines are not working. So I thought, uh-oh, maybe they're cutting back on maintenance and service and everything to save bucks. You know, they're just in it to get the buck. And indeed, we paid the resort fee, but we were told there'd be no maid service. So there was maid service upon request on the first day, which was like a Thursday. And then they told us the rest of the trip, no maid service. I could order towels and sheets, but nobody's coming in your room. And I'm thinking, well, why'd I pay the $30 for the resort fee? So I'm thinking, okay, you know, got a lot of broken machines. Now, the restaurants, a lot of broken machines and no maid service. And then the restaurants, well, the restaurants were deeply spaced. So it was hard getting a reservation because, you know, if they cut the patron availability in half, the casinos already have busy restaurants. So it was hard getting a reservation. And then there's a pool there. Well, the pool, they'd cut down the people that could attend it, the number of people that could attend the pool. So we couldn't get in. You know, if you got in there after 9 o'clock, you had to be on a waiting list. So you had to get there early and stay all day. They weren't kicking people out. So if you got a spot in the pool, you had to go there early. And you could stay all day. So I put my name in at 10 one morning. Rest of the family says, nah, we don't want to go to the pool. So I put my name in at 10, and I got called at 3:30. So I'm thinking, you know, this all looks a little desperate. Everybody looked desperate, like they wanted to be out, but, you know, there was reduced restaurant service, pool we couldn't use, restaurants were full, you know, the movie theater was only showing one movie, and it was like an old rerun like you've seen. And you know, anybody who's tried to go to the movies during COVID knows they're showing Raiders of the Lost Ark 1 or whatever, you know, old movies because they don't want to give any new releases and pay the money. And it was only one sitting. So it was kind of weird, you know, it was like there wasn't much to do. Water park was closed down, the pool was open, but I wasn't going to go in there. The pool at the casino, like I said, I wasn't going to go in there because of the wait and because it was just, I don't know. So we kind of left there thinking, we're not going to come back. So my whole impression of this, I got another trip detailed coming up, but my impression of the first two trips, you know, Newport was nice, the beach was there, but some of the amenities were cut down. Then the casino was a joke. We said, okay, we're not coming back here. And so the following week I had to go to Tahoe, and that's East County, and they have quite a bit of cases up there. So I said, okay, we got to be careful again. So I drove up there, and surprisingly enough, it was really hard getting a condo to rent, really hard. So a lot of people had the same idea. We were going to go to a cabin on a lake, but forget it. Everybody in the world is camping and renting cabins by the lake, so that was out. You can't even get any. They're way too in demand. So I went to Tahoe, and that was kind of nice. Again, there was no limit on the number of people in the beaches, but the beaches were packed. We did parasail there, and we did jet ski, so that was okay. And the restaurants, there were enough restaurants with outdoor seating where we could find places to eat. So we had a trip to Mission Beach in San Diego scheduled this month, later this month, but we canceled because we thought, you know, San Diego's going to be the same way. You know, it's like, why be there? So instead, I have a friend of mine that has a cabin up on the Feather River, and we're going to go up there and just stay there for a while, like everybody else is doing, like Camping World, you know. So all in all, traveling during this time, I can't say that I recommend it. Camping, maybe? Okay. Staying in a cabin if you can get one? Okay. But I don't know. You know, the money you're paying to stay somewhere and you're just not getting your full value and you can't get in anywhere makes me wonder if it's stay home and chill or go get a tent and camp out. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station, and we will be right back. Welcome back to your edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuneberti. Thank you for listening to your community radio station. You're listening to Money Matters Show, edition 310, where Money Matters is about you and the money you may or may not have. So we talked prior to the break about traveling during COVID. And I wanted to talk about mistakes, both mistakes that I see beginning investors make and also mistakes that I see happening in the world today. So I'd like to start with what I'm seeing happening in the world today. It is said that one butterfly flapping his wings can alter the course of history. Its random action can cause a host of other outcomes. Call it the butterfly effect, right? Each outcome causing another or setting another event in motion. In economics, hundreds, if not thousands of random events affect what an economy does. And just as many not-so-random decisions made by man who are attempting to control the economy do the same thing. They affect the outcome of the economy. During the last 4 months, the random event called COVID-19, also Corona, set in motion the need for man to make many decisions. COVID set in motion the need for us to make many decisions. One decision that could have been made early on is to not to have made any more. Indeed, the outcome of the decision to do nothing would be quite different than what we have today, obviously, and what the outcome would be is anyone's guess, and probably highly debatable. Economically speaking, in the mind of myself, in my opinion, many decisions that I've witnessed in the last 4 months seem random and uncoordinated. The inconsistencies seem to run rampant. Let me explain that. First of all, the Federal Reserve has increased the money supply by at least a couple of $1 trillion, and yet another attempt to stave off another catastrophe. Remember 08 and 09? The mother of all catastrophes? Not so. COVID has arrived, and this, we say, is the mother of all catastrophes. Now, I'd mentioned years ago that each economic catastrophe, which is solved by monetary solutions, printing money, basically, makes the next event worse because you have more debt to deal with, because every time you print a dollar, there's more debt. So in 08 and 09, they threw, you know, $5 trillion at this thing. And prior to that was the dot-com blow-up. So the dot-com blow-up was bad. And those, including myself, had predicted the next event would be worse. And it was. It was 08 and 09. Everybody said, oh, that's the worst one. And I said, well, they keep getting worse. And now we have COVID, and that one's even worse. So this one requires even more money. So the Federal Reserve is conjured up about somewhere near about $3 trillion. $3 trillion. And we think, I predicted it'd be $10 trillion by the end of this, so we think another five's coming at least on the bones, and so we will see how much it is. But you got to realize, when they print up money to just solve problems that throw at people, if printing money solved problems, then why do we have problems, right? So there is a cost to be paid, and we'll talk about that. So we thought 08 and 09 was the mother of all financial implosions. Enter the random event called COVID-19. COVID-19 has one mission, and only one mission. And everything it does is consistent with that mission. Perpetuate itself by reproduction. That's it, pure and simple. You have to admire its purity, even though we vehemently strive to eradicate this beast. An inconvenient truth is that COVID will either succumb to a string of correct decisions or spread even more ferociously among some bad decisions. The mask debate, wear a mask or don't wear a mask, seems to demonstrate our ability to contest everything. Man seems to find a way to argue about everything. Some argue that masks help, while others debate that the mask mandate itself is an affront to their basic freedom. It is said that 3 weeks of masks would eliminate the threat. Others argue it won't. And who's to really know what works in this uncharted land of COVID? Do we shut down the economy and stop the spread? It sounds logical. But is the shutdown causing more damage than the virus ever would? Surely, the millions of individuals thrown out of work and the thousands of businesses that will go under have to have some limit as to what are we willing to pay? What are we willing to pay in economic terms versus what we are willing to pay in deaths? Sounds heartless, but you have to think about that for a minute. It is said everything has its price, and economic collapses cause thousands of deaths on their own. Do we ban large crowds and medium-sized crowds to slow the spread? Again, sounds logical. But then we allow the largest of crowds under the guise of a protest for an acceptable cause? It's probably hard to stop such a determined and stealthy foe like a microscopic entity, unless we make up our minds and decide whether we want to stop Corona or adopt social change when the two come into direct conflict with each other. You can't do both at once and be safe. Some argue you can, but come on, we got to use our brains here. The decision on who to pay money to reimbursement or unemployment, who do we pay that to puts us at another critical juncture. Do we print trillions and give it to exactly whom? Do we save the airlines, the banks, or bail out individuals? Some claim we must do one or the other, and some say we've got to do all of them. But bailouts have their costs. I know a lot of you don't believe that. They do. You just can't print money forever. Otherwise, we could all stop working, the government just print a bunch of money and send it to us, and we'd all be fine, right? Sounds in your brain that it won't work, and it won't. We'll get into why it might not work. We've covered that in other shows, but basically, it can only go on for so long, and then you have real problems. One of the most worst problems coming down the road that happened from this result of printing money is inflation. Perhaps the bailouts give more money to zombie companies to limp on, right? Give them more rope. They have too much debt and we give them more debt. When for society's greater good, perhaps they should be allowed to fail. Weak companies should be allowed to fail. After all, just how much is too much? How far is too far? And does throwing good money after bad have its limits? It probably should. It is said one situation is a direct cause of all the cumulative decisions they have made over their lifetime. It is said your situation is a direct result of all the decisions you have made during your lifetime. If true, that thought can be a painful reality to some. Indeed, where we find ourselves economically now and in the future, here and worldwide, will be a direct result of the decisions that we have made yesterday, today, and the decisions we will make tomorrow. If COVID is eradicated, or at least acceptably controlled, and the economy recovers without too much more damage, will we be able to say we made a lot of right decisions amongst a few bad ones? Or if the damage persists and an unspeakable amount of people are unemployed, too many businesses to count disappear for good, and a global recession occurs, could we conclude we made a lot of wrong decisions based on fear and muddled in inconsistency for whatever the reason? We can all agree on one thing. We are trying to solve the COVID puzzle. How we are doing it is indeed probably not the perfect way of doing it, but this is a road we have not traveled in modern times. Indeed, we will learn a lot about how to deal with future pandemics, but the learning process is indeed a very painful one. I ran out of time to try to cover the mistakes that beginning investors make, but we had a good show, cut it down. So you have been listening to show 310, Money Matters. And website, moneymanagementradio.com, also available by podcast right here at the station. The originating station is KBMR FM, and probably if you're listening to this at another station, they have their programming possibly up for replay as well. You can also hear all shows replayed for free at moneymanagementradio.com, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Remember, discussions in this show should not be meant as investment advice. Investing involves risk and you can lose money. The opinions expressed today are my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. The website again, no cost, moneymanagementradio.com, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for listening.